We didn't read the purport about Lord Buddha.
Yeah, I think
we did one about Ram. I mean, Krishna. Krishna's the next one.
Is it not chapter 3?
No, it's just text 23 instead of 24.
Bury him deep inside of him.
Text 23. I had 25 here.
I thought we read it wrong.
It's chapter 3, text 23.
23.
I've been known to be wrong, but I do think that.
Well, let's just do 23.
That's well, how can you beat it? It's talking about Krishna.
Yeah. What do you think I mean? What verse do we read? Do you remember?
I'd have to look at her.
I think you chanted the last verse.
Okay, this is the one about Ram.
2 weeks in our mind.
I can do whichever one you like. They're all sweet.
Yeah.
I can goof up just about any one of them, so pick one for me to goof up on.
He's the program director of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, well, if we didn't read the one about Lord Buddha... Go ahead and read 23.
23? All right.
I don't know, because I read it at my house.
Does everybody do the Sanskrit, or should I just do it, or how do we do it?
Whoever wants to.
We take turns. I mean,
yeah, okay. Whoever has the courage.
On the first verse, anyway.
Ekam vimshe.
Ekam vimshe.
Vimshatime
Vimshatime
Vishnu
Vishnu
Praptya
Praptya
Janmani
Janmani
Rama
Rama
Vishnu
Vishnu
Iti Uvahu
Bhagavan
Bhagavan Aharat
Aharat
Varam
Varam
Kam vimshi vimshantime
Kam vimshi
vimshantime Rishnishu prapajanmani Ramakrishna viti bhuvo
Ramakrishna viti bhuvo
Bhagavan aharad
baram Bhagavan aharad baram
Anyone else?
Ekano na vimse vishmatim vrshu vapya janmani rama krishna iti bhuvo bhagavan ararad param.
Very good. Vishnu praptya janmani Ramakrishna vitti bhuvo Bhagavan aharad baram.
Go ahead, just do one line and then we'll repeat.
Ekano vimshe vishatami
Ekano vimshe vishatami
Vishnu praptya janmani
Vishnu prapya janmani
Ramakrishna iti bhuvo
Ramakrishna iti bhuvo
Bhagavan harat param
Bhagavan harat param.
Want to try Jira?
Ekana visme vimsatime Vishnu Prabhya Janmani
Vishnu Prabhya Janmani
Ramakrishna Viti Bhuvo
Ramakrishna Viti Bhuvo
Bhagavan Aharad Varam
Bhagavan Aharad Varam. Anyone else?
Ekona
vimshe
vimsatime Vishnishu prapya janmani
Vishnishu prapya janmani
Ramakrishna iti bhuvo
Ramakrishna iti bhuvo
Bhagavan aharad varam
Bhagavan aharad varam. Eko na vimse In the 19th.
In the 19th.
Vimsatime.
Vimsatime.
In the 20th.
In the 20th.
Also.
Also.
Vrishnishu.
Vrishnishu.
In the Vrishni dynasty.
In the Vrishni dynasty.
Prabhya.
Prabhya.
Having obtained.
Having obtained.
Janmani.
Janmani.
Births.
Births.
Rama.
Rama.
Balaram.
Balaram.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Bhuvaha,
Bhuvaha,
of the world,
of the world.
Bhagawan,
Bhagawan,
the personality of Godhead,
personality of Godhead.
Aharat,
Aharat,
removed,
removed.
Baram,
Baram,
burden,
burden.
Translation: in the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented Himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Vrishni, the Yadu dynasty. And by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. Purport. The specific mention of the word Bhagawan in this text indicates that Balaram and Krishna are original forms of the Lord. This will be further explained later. Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, as we learned from the beginning of this chapter. He is directly the original personality of Godhead. And Balaram is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladev, the first phalanics of plenary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, expands. Lord Sri Krishna is Vasudev, and Baladev is Sankarshan. So this is an important point. I'll just briefly touch on this. People in this material world are very competitive. You know, if I have my idea or my conception of something, then due to false ego, I have to defend it above, you know, mine's better than yours. You know, I drive a Chevy, you drive a Ford. Well, everybody knows Chevys are better. I wouldn't drive it unless it was, you know, you see what I mean? So there's something about me personally that it's a statement of what I drive. The way I dress, the way I do my hair, the way I polish my shoes, and the God that I have, you see? So my false ego kind of closes reason, you see? It's hard for me to accept that yours may be better, you know, because I've had that. That's been me for a long time. So so people, they when they hear about Krishna, they have a tendency to think, oh, well, that's very nice. So this is your God. You know, I've got my God. So this is your God. You know, and they talk of your Krishna, you know. And what they don't understand is that everybody may have a God. That's okay. That God is unlimited. There are conceptions of God that everyone could have their own practically. You see, He's unlimited. You see, but there is an original source of all these incarnations and all these expansions, and that's Krishna. Krishna is the source of all this. You see, that's the hard point to get across to some people. Even when they think they get it, they still kind of think that, well, my conception is on an equal level. No, your perception of God is right, but it came from this Krishna. He's the original personality of Godhead, you know? And we're only saying that just for your information. We're not saying, well, I'm better than you or anything like that. Krishna is the source of all sources. He's the original, you see? His abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is what we call, it's the home in the going back home, back to Godhead, you see? Now, you don't have to go there. We originated from there, but we don't have to go back there, at least not right away. We can go into the impersonal Brahman, you know, get all tangled up in the nirvanic bliss, and be in that in the bright light, in the formless, personality-free environment, you see. We could do that, but we're probably going to get a little tired of it. People want to argue that sometimes, but it's like, I think it was last night we were talking, you know, let's say that you get Brahman realization, Well, a lot of people say, oh, well, what's that? Well, that's merging into this light that you want to go into. Oh, okay, so what does it give you? Any ideas? What do you get if you get? What do you get?
When I think of that, I think of the, like, maybe some of my early Christian teachings of the tunnel of light. When you die, and you go into the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always thought that was beautiful, but for me, it was like, man, that's not what I'm hoping for after.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah. The tunnel of light. Where does the tunnel go? Do we just walk this tunnel for eternity? You see? Let's say, a lot of times people say, well, if I go into the Brahma Jyoti, emerge into the universal energy, I'll get peace. Okay. So what do you do? What's your next step? So now you're peaceful.
Are you even peaceful?
Well, yeah, are you? You know?
You might be called neutral.
For a while until you get tired.
That's a good point. That's a very intelligent observation.
Do you have the choice?
You get a little neutral, you see. Do you know what nirvana means?
Nirvana to me, I don't know the meaning, the direct meaning, but I think of it as... that's really interesting. How do you put it into words? Sorry.
Prabhupada's talked about it, but I can't think of what exactly.
The actual Sanskrit definition of it means it's let's see, the best way to put it into English, I guess, it's an acceptable stage. It's not like, incredible bliss, as some people think. It's like nothing. It's nothing. You're nothing. It's just acceptable. You're not... there's no anxiety, but there's not a whole lot of bliss, and you're just kind of like... So, you know, if we find that all attractive, we may head for that destination, you see. Then some people say, once you get peace, then what? What else? Okay, happiness. All right, so here you are. You're happy, and you're peaceful. Now what? You see, and you can go on and on. People keep realizing... well, it's not enough. Nobody's ever said to me, but that's plenty. Because your mind is really intelligent enough to know that if I'm just happy and peaceful, that sets the stage for something better. You know, I get away from the pangs of material existence. So maybe for a while I'll take a breather. You know, I'll think, it's nice to be here. There's nothing, no challenges. I mean, here I am. You know, Shanti, this is nice. I'm taking a nice rest, you know. Okay, this has really been fun.
But isn't that the goal of Buddhism, the Nirvana?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're working really hard for that.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's not a permanent liberation, you see. It's not permanent. You'll get there, and after a while, you're going to say, this has been great. It's been a nice rest. You know?
But it probably teaches one how to get out of the material world. It's like a step. It's on the ladder or something.
Exactly. It's a step in the right direction.
Well, our scripture says it's better than any material desire, right?
It's better than
any material desire. That's big stuff.
It's even better. It's better than any material desire. Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's transcendental.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's not permanent in that the living entity, once he gets there, he's going to... it's going to run its course. Mm-hmm. So you've been there, you got away from the material concept, you got out of the bodily designation, and here you are, you're liberated, but you don't have senses, you don't have form, you don't really have any personality, you have some consciousness, and you know, you can perceive there are other living entities there with you, but you can't communicate, because they don't have personalities either. They do, but they're... you know, you're in this whirling energy, you see. So after the rest of not being chased by the material energy, you see, not being dogged by all the problems that exist in the material world, you're going to say, all right, I'd like something better. I know there's something better, and darn it, I'm going to get it. So you turn around, you go back to the material world, you take your birth, but this time you've got a little bit more consciousness. you see. You take off right where you left off, and you pursue a different path, you see. Perhaps you wind up in one of the Vaikuntha planets where you're worshiping Krishna in great awe and reverence. You know, one of the Narayan planets.
That'd be nice.
Krishna has four arms, great, you know, fantastic opulence, like you wouldn't believe. Everything is gold and jewels, and every time you see Lord Narayan, you fall down to the ground at his feet, you know. It's just wonderful to be around the Supreme Lord like that.
You're talking about the spiritual planets?
Yeah.
You said you fell to the spiritual planet?
No, you go back. You fall down to the... You hit the ground. You offer your obeisances. As soon as God walks in, you fall down to offer your obeisances. You fall down like a rod. You know. Great awe and reverence. You know. When you see Lord Narayan, you go, oh, God! Oh, my God! You see? Awe and reverence. You're there in the presence of the Supreme God. And after a while, you more than likely will transcend that even.
But isn't that dependent on what your spiritual, your constitutional position is? If you're meant to eternally serve God in awe and reverence, you'll be happy with that.
You're not meant to do anything.
Well, I mean, whatever your soul is, meant, maybe not the right word, but...
Your desires.
I mean, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they have examples, you know, like where Lord Chaitanya will say, you know, you should worship, what was that one where Lord Chaitanya said, you should worship Krishna to Murari Gupta, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
He tried it, you know, but that was not his relationship with God.
He wasn't ready for it at that time.
So you're saying the fact that he was an eternal associate of Lord Ramachandra, that wasn't the reason?
Oh. Well, it could be that he was an eternal associate of Lord Ramchandra, but in general, it could be that people aren't ready for Krishna at this particular time. You know, you see, it's a big step to associate with Krishna. You see, now people see it as, well, wow, I'm stepping way up. If I'm going from something like the Narayan planets where God is in great opulence and I'm worshiping with awe and reverence, if I'm going to take a step up from that platform, wow, it must be really lofty, you know, to get onto this Krishna and his planet. You know, Goloka Vrindavan, that must be even more opulent. But it's not. You see, to get to Krishna, you've got to have Krishna prema. You've got to have pure love of Godhead. You see, so
when you get there, you're just pure and transcendental. It's natural,
right? And you've lost any traces of awe and reverence. You see, there's no awe and reverence. Jaidwaita Maharaj and I were talking about this in Mayapur. And we were having lunch together on his veranda, and we were talking about it. And he's just an incredible person to get deep with. And he said, Krishna doesn't get any respect in Goloka Vrindavan. Didn't get respect. He's just loved. You see? Now, in the material world, we think, well, doesn't respect go along with love? Not if you have enough love. If you have enough love, there's no room for respect. Love just outweighs everything, you see. In the material world, we think, well, I'm your husband, and I want you to love me, and you better respect me. My false ego is just, you know. But when there's nothing but pure love, there's no question. If you love me that much, heck, the respect. I got love. I don't need the respect, you see. That respect is something that false ego is going to want. See, but when you get so up close and personal with Krishna, you know, with Krishna praying, pure love of Godhead, there's no room. There's no room for respect. And not only that, let me ask a question. Ponder this. In Goloka Vrindavan, is Krishna God?
No. He's not God.
To the inhabitants there, he's not.
He's just Krishna.
He's just Krishna. Now, he is God, but to them he's not. As a matter of fact, in the supreme home back to Godhead, there's no need for God. You don't need God when you have Krishna.
But then you can even see that, like with interactions with people, like if somebody's like really in awe of somebody and they feel kind of uncomfortable around them, and they really can't like exchange love with them. They're so nervous.
Exactly. You know? If you have enough respect for somebody, it's hard to get real intimate with them, you see. So some people in the material world think, well, no, respect goes with love. Up to a point, but then when the love gets strong enough, there's no room for respect. See, our false ego tells us, puts a false importance on respect. My false ego, you see. You better hope you respect me, because you know what? If you don't, somehow or other, I'll whip some respect into you. I'll outdo you. I'll do whatever. If I can't, I'll sue you. We'll do something, but I will be respected. That's the attitude, you see. How dare you say that? Show me some respect, you see. But now, amongst people who thoroughly, totally love one another, it's a question of respect, you see. How can you respect somebody that steals your clothes while you're taking a bath?
Who does that?
Krishna.
Of course, with the gopis.
You know? Now, I mean, do you think they respect him? No, they think he's naughty. Yeah. His mother takes a switch and spanks his behind because she's just had it with him. She has to tie him up to a grinding stone. You know, I mean, she's just, it's like we were talking this morning, and there are so many different ways of saying Krishna. You know, you can say that word Krishna in so many different ways, you know. I mean, what did the gopis say when they were going to get out of the water and they saw that Krishna had stolen their saris? Krishna! You know, what did Mother Yashoda say when Krishna had stolen the butter again? Krishna! You know. How does Radharani call Krishna when she can't find him? Krishna! You know. See, by vibrating this Krishna, it's as we were talking earlier, God's names are unlimited. But he likes that. Why? Because it's not just a word, you know. In the Western world, you know, the names don't mean anything. Hi, my name's Jim. Well, I'm Bob. What does Jim and Bob mean? You know, there might be something. What does it mean? Well, names don't have any meaning. You see. But Krishna has a meaning. Oh, beautiful, most attractive one. You see, it's a flattering thing to say. So when you call that in love, when you call out Krishna, you know, it's like music to his ears. He's like, yes? You know? Oh, listen, Radharani, did you hear how that person said Krishna? You know, very interesting, you see. So this is the original personality of Godhead. And everything else comes from there, you see. All the concepts that are bona fide, there are concepts of God that are not bona fide. But all the bona fide conceptions of God, due to your level of sincerity and your level of love for Krishna, if you can work your way to the topmost love, then you can have Krishna. If it's awe and reverence that you can need to stop at, you know, then you can have Narayan. You can have. And it's wonderful. It's all bona fide, you see. But Narayan comes from Krishna, you see. So, any questions on that?
Prabhu, I have a question. Yes. Since there is no false ego in spiritual planets, why should that mean, from the statement you said that respect and all comes with false ego and things like that, since people in Vaikuntha don't have false ego, so why should they respect
Oh, it's all in reverence.
They're not demanding respect for themselves.
They're not. Yeah, they're not demanding respect. It's all in reverence
for the Lord.
Yeah.
What should they respect since they don't have?
Well, he's so omniscient. He's so so much grandeur that he commands respect. He doesn't demand it, but he commands respect. Oh, could you turn that down a little bit? Just a little bit. You see what I mean?
Then
it's not demanded.
I mean, why don't devotees in Krishna Loka respect him? So since they're same.
With Krishna?
Yeah.
Respect Krishna?
Yeah.
They're too deep in love with him. They're so much in love with him that's really all. Love transcends respect. It's very difficult for a lot of people to understand that in this material world, you know, until we associate with Krishna's devotees.
So until, when you're with Narayan, you're still learning what love is, devotional service, bhakti.
Yeah.
You're still working out you're learning how to serve.
So. Yeah. So well, what happens if you're, and you've achieved liberation and you're on the Narayan planet and you're worshiping Lord Narayan, and then you decide that you want Krishna, you want something higher. What happens then?
Boop.
File for a transfer, you know?
I thought you go to the planet of your Ishtadev. So whoever you worship in the lives that lead you to God is the form of God, you go to that planet.
No.
It said there's a spiritual evolution after you get into the spiritual world.
Yeah. It's not immediate.
You can evolve to
it. It's not automatic. As soon as you die
here. So are you saying that all the people on Lord Narayan's planet, none of them belong there? They all belong in Goloka Vrindavan?
Well, that's the home when we talk to back home.
That's the ultimate
back
Godhead.
To Godhead. That's the ultimate home, Goloka Vrindavan. It's the source. It's not human nature, nor is the nature of the soul, to not seek the very topmost. Is it?
But if, I don't mean to be argumentative.
Yeah.
But if you go with that logic, then of the five rasas, you would say it's human nature to seek the topmost, and that the people who have servitorship, friendship, parental mood towards Krishna, they're eventually going to outgrow that, and they're also going to want to be a gopi. I mean, that's the same type of reason.
No, you can have that same love, and I mean, Mother Jashoda's love is every bit as strong as the gopis.
Well, it's just
it's
a different flavor. It's a
different flavor,
it's a different type.
But it's these are existing in Gokul. You see. Now there are some sects that disagree. There's arguments. All I know is Prabhupada talked of home. Goloka Vrindavan is home.
Because I've also heard like the four sampradayas, those people who are attracted to say Lord Narayan, that they won't come to Lord Chaitanya's, you know, Gaudiya. You know, sampradaya.
Yeah.
They'll go to a different sampradaya.
They're not into that, Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and some people it's very difficult for them to, just like I was saying, they can't accept that Krishna is the source of all sources.
Well, that's why a lot of the Hindus say that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu.
Right.
They get it backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some of them say that Krishna and Vishnu come from Shiva.
Oh, wow, I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, the Shivites.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But the Bhagavad Gita says that to believe that Brahma or Shiva is greater than the name of Krishna is like
an offense.
So to say that Krishna comes from Shiva, isn't that like just throwing the whole order out of order?
Yeah.
Chaos.
But, you know.
Chaos. I have a question with this.
The Kashmiri Shivites would argue that.
According from Krishna, Shiva Purana and all those, they say, you know, they could say that. I know in India they say, you know, Shiva this is Shivam Sarvam, Shivam Brahmam, you know. So, how do we, conclude? Like, who is the authority? Because they're also quoting Shastras, they're also quoting from, we cannot deny Shastras, we cannot deny the Puranas, so.
Yeah.
So how are we supposed to?
Do you know what it actually says in English?
Which one?
Whatever you just kind of are quoting or referring to.
Oh, Shiva is Brahman, Shiva and stuff and Brahman, they say like that. There are quotes from Shiva Puran. I can get them. So, and in South India they quote that, so saying that.
Yeah.
So then, because we understand one of the offenses, one of the fourth offenses,
consider the names of demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu.
Now, even Vedic scriptures, we're not supposed to degrade them or discount them. Right?
No.
So, how are we supposed, how are we to know that, because at least we understand, because from the history from Bhagavatam, we have been taught when Vyasadeva got, highest enlightenment, then he gave Bhagavat Puran.
Yeah.
But, so how are we to relate that, how can we defend ourselves, saying that?
There's several stories in the Bhagavatam about people who tried to go to Shiva for, like Ravana tried to. He was a worshiper of Lord Shiva, and he wanted to help with Lord Ram by going to Lord Shiva. And Shiva said, "What can I do? Ram's the person of God. I can't help you there."
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
In that part of that story.
No, there are some stories in Shiva Puran saying that Vishnu worshiping Shiva, Mother Lakshmi doing a lot of vast austerities to Durgi and,
They're different scriptures that say.
Yeah.
We just say, we're following Srimad Bhagavatam,
yeah,
the Upanishads, like that. And there it says that, it's like Prabhupada explains it like this. Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he needs to deal with the material world, like creating, maintaining, whatever, then he is Vishnu. See, he's the executive that deals with the material manifestation. See, from Vishnu comes Brahma. You see, and then Vishnu becomes Shiva, but stays Vishnu. See, he doesn't change from Vishnu into Shiva, but he becomes Shiva. So, Prabhupada says,
Brahma becomes Shiva.
Huh?
Brahma becomes Shiva?
Vishnu.
Vishnu,
yeah,
becomes Shiva.
So, Shiva comes from Vishnu.
Gunavatar, right? Gunavatar?
Yeah, like that. Okay. Prabhupada says that, you can take milk and you can make yogurt from milk. So, you can make Shiva from Vishnu, but you can't make milk out of yogurt. You
right.
See?
Yeah.
You can make milk into yogurt, but you can't change yogurt into milk. So Vishnu is still something more special than Lord Shiva.
Well, they say Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Krishna, right?
Exactly. And you can argue that. You can argue that with the Shivites. I don't know. They'll talk around in circles. What do they say in South India when you say, but he's called Mahadev, the great devotee? And they say, oh, yes. Devotee of who?
No, they say, they quote because Rama and Krishna are same. They quote, there is a pastime where Lord Rama went to Lanka, right, in Ramayana. So he worshipped, there's a place known as, Kanyakumari. They say, even Lord Rama worshipped Shiva, so Shiva is great. They're quoting from Shah. So that's what I'm, I mean.
Yeah, they take a little tiny piece and they try to make it into something, So ultimately, what can we do? Those who worship the demigods, go to the demigods. If that's where they're determined to go, then let them go. Those who worship the ancestors, go to the ancestors. You see? So, those who worship the demigods take birth amongst the demigods.
Well, that's what I said. Whoever you worship, that's your Ishtadev. So, whichever form of Krishna you worship is the one you
worship. It's not necessarily your Ishtadev. Right now, I don't have the consciousness, perhaps. I'm worshiping, let's say I'm worshiping Lord Shiva. because my grandfather worshipped Shiva, my father worshipped Shiva, all of my uncles and aunts have worshipped Shiva, and I'm born in this part of the world and we worship Shiva. So I am worshipping Shiva, so that I achieve Shiva after liberation. It's just like achieving liberation into the impersonal Brahman. That doesn't mean it's your Ishtadev. That's just where you chose to go. That's just like, what if somebody says, you know, man, I've always wanted to go, to El Paso. I've heard a lot about, I've been reading a lot about El Paso on the internet, you know. I've been studying for years, I'm going to El Paso. You know, great Mexican food, it's the pictures that I see on the travel brochures, it's just a beautiful place, you know. You know, my father was stationed there, Fort Bliss. He always said it's the greatest place on the earth. I'm going to El Paso. So you get to El Paso, and you're there for a while, and you say, wow, it's really hot here. The wind always blows real hard, and there's sand in the air. It's always sandblasting. You know, I don't think I like this place. I think I'm going to go back to Tucson and figure out a different destination, you know. But I was convinced that I wanted to go to El Paso. Jeez, I blew that one, didn't I? You see? So just because somebody has that concept in this human birth that I want this, I want that, who are we to know? You know how you know?
From your guru. You learn from
bona fide guru. Bona fide guru.
There seems to be something missing here in the communication, like a lapse. are you talking about, it seems like you're talking about making progress, making the steps, doing the worshiping, and going to where you're going based on your progress and maybe part destiny, part constitutional position. And you're talking about, like, what I hear is desire and, like, our desires. If we want to go somewhere, we can go there. And, you know, if we want to go here, we'll go there.
Well, I'm talking about some people have a desire to go for a certain type of liberation, but that doesn't mean it's their swarup rupa.
Yeah, just like the Buddhists is a good example.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they have a swarup rupa. You know, they have a relationship with Krishna.
Right.
But they don't normally stumble onto it right away. It's not a. In other words, liberation isn't always forever. You get there, if you want something else, you come back here, and you. Now, where do we want to end up? Where do the souls end up? Home. Home isn't just necessarily anywhere north of the material world.
Yeah, I thought that was all the spiritual plane.
Home is, well, that's right. But what's the center of the lotus flower? Goloka Vrindavan. Home. That's where we came from, and it's where we're headed back to. You see, that's home.
That is swarup, right?
That's
constitutional position.
Yeah. You see. Now, there's wonderful places along the way. We may end up staying there eons. You know, who knows? But and it's not bad. You know, it's you're liberated. You're not in the material world, but you may eventually, more than likely, you're going to want Krishna. You're not going to have Krishna. You see. And Krishna's the most, he is, remember what I said, he's the most attractive. He's the most lovable. He's the most wonderful. He is the most. You see.
It seems without a doubt.
Yeah. He's the source of all of this. He's that whirl of the lotus flower, the center of that lotus flower, which is Goloka Vrindavan, is where all of these Vaikuntha planets come from. If they had a beginning, they would be coming from there. It's kind of like, you know, in the spiritual world, the Chittabheda Tattva concept kicks in. They've always been, but they came from Krishna, but they've always existed. They've always existed, but they come from Krishna. I don't understand that. My brain's too small to understand that. But it makes sense, you see. You see, Krishna is the topmost. He's the... Now, some people... That's why I said when we opened this up, some people will want to argue with you. Because, well, well, what if I like this rather? You can like whatever you like. But Krishna is the source of all sources. If you notice the old cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada had it, that picture of Goloka Vrindavan in the middle and all the other planets.
Yeah.
You see. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's all the spiritual world. But the home, the ultimate home, is Goloka Vrindavan. You see? Ultimate love of Krishna. You see? Warm and loving, being with Krishna in that loving way. You see? When you have a deep, loving relationship with someone, I mean, far more than we can imagine, you don't ever have to worry about saying something that will hurt their feelings. You see? You don't have to walk around on tippy toes, walking on eggshells, as they say.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Yeah. You don't. There's nothing like that. You know? I mean, there's nothing you could do or say to me that would offend me. Because I love Gino.
That's right. We might disagree. We might have different opinions. Who knows? But we love each other.
Yeah.
That's superior to anything that's material, for one thing. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, all this other stuff, all I know is that... Yeah. I love you.
Relationship.
We have that relationship with Krishna.
And that's what I think. We talk about constitutional position, but to me, the word relationship makes so much sense. There's so many of these other concepts of planets and gods that lack our relationship with Krishna, the deepest relationship. I mean, a lot of the thing I had trouble with Buddhism back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when I was reading all these books and is they won't even use the term I. They won't say that I go to this Brahmajyoti, I go to this universe. That you have to try to get rid of this reference to yourself. That's bizarre. I mean, you could do it. It's a weird feeling. But then as soon as you step out your door and you have to engage in relationship with someone, you have to actually earn some money or, you know, say hello to the mailman, all of a sudden I appears right in front of you.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, so I do need relationships. I do need other people.
If you told that Buddhist, well, can I make a donation? I'd like to make a donation to your cause.
To who? What do you make it out to?
The only right thing for him to say, if he's keeping up with his philosophy, is, I say, who do I make it out to? You say,
exactly.
No one.
That's right.
Leave it blank, you know.
It's a, it doesn't exist. So
I have an account that has no number and no name. You see?
It seems like Buddhism, part of it is remaining in your purity or remaining throughout all the false egos. That's all shed. You hold your place. And that's part of it.
Krishna
is
Lord Buddha. So.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
There's a you
that exists
outside the
false.
There's
even moral courts.
Do you know what a Buddhist orders when he goes into Subway?
Everything.
He says, make me one with everything.
I have a little story about relationship, and I don't know if Gino even knows, but we were having prasadam one night. And I was sitting there, just eating, you know. And I don't know if you knew or did that consciously, but I think it was natural relationship with Krishna, you know. Gino, and everybody's talking, and I'm thinking, God, I'm eating so fast, but this food is so good. And I was just sort of eating really fast, and Gino looks over at me and goes, Melina? Melina? And I look up at him, and I was like, hi. And he just was like, hi. So I don't even think you realized that I needed to pause from my food for a moment, but it was so natural, and I felt that it was relating, Krishna was totally coming through you, and it was my first experience of that, you know.
Was he interfering with your relationship with prasadam?
No. I enjoyed it more, you know, I enjoyed it more,
yeah.
So, because, you know, it just made me conscious of the whole experience in my food, so...
Because of our upbringing, you know, the lives, this life and the other lives that we've had, human lives in this material world, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around this Krishna. We keep thinking that he's God. You know, we gotta start thinking of Krishna as somebody that, when you're with him, you're gonna figure out ways to get even with him for things that he's done to you.
There you go.
You know, So you may be thinking, oh, I'm a little ahead. If we just left, we're coming home early from taking the cows out, and I'm a little bit ahead of Krishna. Now, I'm going to hide behind this tree, and when he comes by, I'm going to tackle him. You know, I'm going to get him in a headlock, and I'm going to give him noogies, you know. And it's going to be so funny.
Yeah, hilarious.
You see? Because he did something like that to me. You see? In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopa Kumar got to go see the spiritual world. Have you read that? That's a fabulous read. But anyway, Gopa Kumar, I won't go into it. It'll take forever, but I want to tell one little part of it. He got to see the spiritual world. He got to see Goloka Vrindavan. Not just, we say, the devotees, when we say spiritual world, we're generally referring to Goloka Vrindavan. You know, so he got to go see Krishna and Gokul. And people said to him, what was Krishna doing? You know, everybody's like, wow, you actually saw, what was Krishna doing? And Gopakumar says, he was telling many funny stories. He was imitating many humorous characters. And he was distorting his face to make people laugh. You know, Krishna's like the stand-up comedian. He's telling jokes, yeah. Imitating funny characters, making funny faces. You know, now this is the supreme personality of Godhead. You see, I mean, you know, you'd have to loosen up a whole lot if you had any awe and reverence. You know, to this, you've got this cunning little boy that's telling jokes, yeah. And making you. And you know, Krishna, he's probably, once he gets you laughing, he's going to make you laugh so hard your sides are hurting. You're like, Krishna, stop it, you know. And then he thinks he's so funny, you see. So part of the relationship, of a close, loving relationship, sometimes, often, is that I want to make you a little angry at me. Nothing can destroy our relationship, you see. Our relationship is solid iron. So I want to tease you to the point that you're almost angry at me. And then he does that with Radharani. He teases Radharani until she gets angry because he likes the way her eyebrows look when she's angry. So here's Radharani steaming at Krishna, and then he starts talking sweet words, you know, and makes her go, oh, you know, Krishna.
How funny.
You know, so it's difficult for us to get over the awe and reverence. We're not ready for it yet. We only know that's where we're going. It's hard for us to do that now. When we go in front of the deity, you know, there's awe and reverence. When the curtain's open, we see the deity, it's like, you know. You see. So we're in training for Goloka Vrindavan. We have our training wheels on. This ISKCON is like training wheels for Goloka Vrindavan. We're the only ones that are doing this. You know, others are teaching liberation in so many different ways. But training wheels for Krishna praying is ISKCON. That's what we're doing. We're training you and getting everybody ready for that time when the curtains will open and you'll see Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And you don't go, oh, you know, no awe and reverence. You just, Krishna. You run to him, embrace it. You see. You run to him and embrace it.
It's a little after 8. I'm going to just run over to the restaurant and see what's going on.
All right.
Thank you.
Either.
So quickly.
What time should we wrap up?
He checks the food and he comes back.
We can go in there if we.
How do you know he doesn't go over there and he get a plate
that.
For himself?
We wonder sometimes. It takes
he probably long. Does. You know, he goes over and gets this gigantic plate for himself and then comes back and says, "Well, there's
then it should be bean."
Anyway, we don't go in there until 8:15. We didn't go in there.
You know that I don't mean that, don't you?
Do you? Sometimes they go to the at 8 o'clock to the have a kirtan over there in the temple room. So if you want to do that?
Yeah.
You gonna do that?
Excellent.
What about the story of Lakshmi? Did we hear the past time Lakshmi wanted to become a gopi and she went to Vrindavan?
Oh,
she asked, like, what do I need to do?
you know,
Paralila,
to be a gopi.
They're just like women, and material reflection.
They were telling her some of the things, like you need to be married to someone else, and you need to run in the middle of the night when you hear Krishna playing his flute, and you need to make cow dung patties. And she was like, no, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, not to be argumentative, but that supports what I was saying earlier, that people have their constitutional position. She's not meant to be a gopi. She'll never be a gopi.
But then there was a story about Radha. Okay. And Lakshmi was like somewhere totally lower than her status. And Radha was like, you can't be there. You have to go. And she said, no, I want to stay here. So Radha called it like, oh, I'm not telling the story, but it was something like cow dung. And it became, I'm not telling the story well. Who was telling it to me? Probably Sundamini. You should ask her about that. But basically, I gave you the main thing. She was on somewhere on the material plane.
Right. Like called her from that.
Yeah. And Radha told her, you have to leave. And she said, I don't want to. So Radha said, okay.
That was just
and
a test. Yeah.
And it became cowed up or something.
So this lady may not be aware that she can do those things.
Yeah. And not everybody. There's, you know, the gopis, it's not just one ultimate relationship. Conjugal love. Conjugal love and friendship and parenthood, they're all on the same level. Of course, to the ones in conjugal love, they feel, well, mine is the topmost relationship with Krishna. And the friends of Krishna say, no, mine's the topmost relationship. You know, he may have a conjugal loving relationship with you, but he leaves you and he goes out playing with me.
That's right.
And then the one who's the parent says, yeah, he may have a conjugal loving relationship with you and he goes out playing with you, but he comes home and I put him to bed and spank him when he's naughty.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Also, they say that Mother Yashoda worships Lord Narayan as God. Like when she's worried about Krishna's welfare,
yeah,
she doesn't think Krishna's God. She thinks right. Lord Narayan's going to protect right. them.
Yeah. Yeah. See, in Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan here, no, but they didn't think he was God. They thought sometimes, I mean, they were bewildered by the things that Krishna was doing. They thought perhaps he's some great demigod, but they didn't even hang on to that thought very long. You know, when they would see these Herculean feats that he would do, they would think, wow, what's going on here? You know, what is this? What's with this Krishna? But then they would just go on. You know, as soon as you're with him. The evidence is from the stories in the 10th canto is that when you just be with Krishna, your concept of him being God is just taken away with the fact that you're with Krishna.
It's okay.
And everyone knows Krishna's not God. He's Krishna. You see what I mean? The living entities that with Krishna. Well, no, he's Krishna. Oh, I say he's God.
God wouldn't steal. Krishna steals butter, yogurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, God's not that naughty.
But in the
God
Gita,
can do anything he wants.
In the Gita it says, right. You know, you're not supposed to cheat or gamble. He says, but I am the cheaters, I am the winner of cheaters. And, you know, I don't
know,
of the gamblers. So he'll win anything if he needs to. And it was funny because I went on vacation and I was with my friend in this casino. Her brother was gambling, and we were all really upset, like, oh God, he's going to stop it. We went to see him because he was in this big tournament, and I remember the whole time I was sitting there thinking about Krishna and being like, this is so bad. I know Krishna, they're gamblers, you know. But the guy who won looked like Krishna. It was so bizarre. It was so weird. The guy looked like a modern, like, you
there's
know,
a commercial.
Like a material world Krishna dude. It was It was so weird. It was whoa, Krishna. You know, it was like Krishna, it was just totally bizarre. I couldn't believe it. He was tan and he just had this look like, it was really interesting.
Who knows?
Who knows? So... we're training. We're getting there. You know, Prabhupada, what he brought us, we realize more and more all the time what Prabhupada gave us is the topmost. Many people think mine is the topmost. But this is obviously the topmost. If I found something that I thought was the topmost other than this, I would go for that. Just being honest. But there is nothing more topmost than this science of Krishna. You see, this Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, that is the source of everything, even the spiritual world. See, he's the source of all sources. And I believe later on in this chapter, if not in this chapter, definitely in the next or very soon in this chapter, that's going to be explained again and again. You know, it has to be explained again and again for us to realize Krishna is not just another, you know, it's not like there's any, pick an expansion. No, Krishna is the source of all of them. So, all right, what's the verdict?
Yeah, we can address this a little bit slow. So. Just ask for a ratapan about which things we can have in mind.
You did ask him?
Rice. I didn't really ask him what you were saying.
All right, thank you, guys.